The J-Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk Podcast. I'm Ben Maxwell with Sam Robson. Sam, it's been two weekends now, so I'm sure you've got an answer ready for this. What's your favourite K-League team?
Well, they're not doing very well, but I'm going with the Suwon Blue Wings. They've got... I thought they put up a good game against John Book. They were a little unfortunate with the red card. But I've seen a lot of them in the Champions League, and they've got Yeon Ki-hyun, who is, like, to me, a Korean Shunsuke Nakamura, a wand of a left foot. So I'm hoping they do well, but they've not started the season off very well. How about you? Have you grown accustomed to anyone?
Well, I guess in the spirit of following FC Tokyo, I've always kept an eye on FC Seoul. And, even more so now that they're putting sex dolls in the stands. So that was quite a revelation over the weekend, wasn't it? And it makes me like them even more, quite frankly. So, yes, if I was on the fence before, I'm definitely now a full-blooded FC Seoul supporter. So, yeah, it's just what a remarkable story from the weekend. The K-League just keeps making headlines.
Well, you've got to figure out a way to deal with these empty stadiums and empty games. And, I mean, it's going to get people talking about them. I'm not sure if it's for the right reasons or not. But, yeah, it looked... I just took a second glance when it came across my screen when I first saw it. And then, yeah, when it was revealed that they'd ordered some sex dolls inadvertently. It was just, yeah, unbelievable. Only in the K-League, I imagine.
Indeed, an innocent mistake, yeah, in inverted commas. But, yeah, once again, everybody's talking about the K-League. So a mission accomplished. Well done, FC Seoul. All right, so, yeah, joining Sam and I later in this episode is Jason Koskrie. If you're not familiar with Jason, he is a colleague of Dan Orlowitz's at the Japan Times, but he doesn't cover football for them. He covers baseball. So, no, don't worry, listeners. We're not turning into the J-Talk Baseball podcast. But at the suggestion of one of our patrons, Mike I, and by the way, listeners, don't worry. Sam and I are capable of a rational thought ourselves and original thought at that. But, yeah, while we're getting so many great ideas from our patrons, we're just happy to run with it. Right, Sam?
Absolutely. I'm not, speak for yourself with the great ideas. I'm not sure any are flowing from me at the moment.
Well, I tell you what, I reckon Mike's idea might have come from a question that you asked Scott McIntyre a couple of weeks ago. And this is not to put words into Mike's mouth, and just, to let the listeners know, Mike suggested that, under current circumstances, it seems to me, me being Mike, that discussion around aspects of attending and staging J-League matches can be more usefully compared with baseball in Japan rather than football in other countries. And I mean, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Sam, you might recall, you asked Scott what sort of lessons you think the J-League can learn from the K-League returning as it did a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, yeah, Scott's answer was basically that your Korea have handled the pandemic completely differently to Japan, so there's not really that much the J-League can take from the K-League's experience because of the way the pandemic's been handled in society as a whole in South Korea. So I thought Mike's point was a very interesting one. And, I know that, Dan is, as I say, Dan, one of Dan's colleagues, Jason, covers baseball for the Japan Times. So, I thought, why not give him a bell? So he has kindly agreed to appear on the podcast and will be joining us shortly. But first, I guess there's a few football-related things we could chat about off the top, Sam. And yes, the K-League is one of them, not only making waves for sex dolls in the stands, of course, but yes, they have returned with proper football in the last two weekends. And we have a couple of questions from our other patrons, and indeed Mike I has got involved in this episode as well, so we'll hear from him later with a question for Jason. But Johnny Nickel will lead us off in this episode, Sam. He was wondering that if we've watched any K-League, I know you have, are there any players you've seen in these first couple of weeks that you'd like to see play in Japan in the near future?
Yeah, well, I've managed to catch a couple of games this season with the time difference. When I'm not working on it, 6 a.m. is not necessarily a game I'm going to catch. But I've managed to see John Book Suwon and then Seoul versus Gwangju yesterday. And neither were great games, but the few players that have caught my eye, and I've watched a few John Book games anyway, are the two fullbacks in Lee Yong and Kim Jin-soo, both really attacking, forward-thinking fullbacks. Deliveries are terrific from both of them. They remind me a little bit of Nagato, who was at Sendai last season, now Kashima, with his left-footed delivery, definitely with Kim Jin-soo, both Korean internationals. So I think those are the sorts of quality players that could come into J-League sides. And then there are others I neither of the none of the foreign players really impressed me when I was watching them. The best one maybe was Donnell Henry at the back for Suwon, who doesn't look necessarily the most mobile player. I think his turning circle might be quite large, but in a game where he was up against slower defenders, he was very switched on. He was always in the right place, and he looked a very good, well-rounded centre-back. So, yeah, those were probably the three that have impressed me the most, and that's before we get on to the Gangwon attacker who I can't quite remember his name, let me think. Cho Jae-won, that was it, with his back-heel flick against Seoul on the opening weekend. So, yeah, those are probably who've caught my eye. What sort of have you been able to watch a few more games over there in Japan?
I really haven't, mate. I've caught a few of the highlights, but yeah, I've not watched any of the games in full yet. I mean, I don't really get to watch that many full J-League games while I'm home on the weekends anyway. So yeah, getting to watch K-League is that's probably a stretch too far for my better half. So yeah, I haven't even really pushed it and tried to get a couple of hour windows. I've managed to catch a few highlights here and there, but yeah, not enough to make any sort of a concerted opinions like yourself. So thanks for the question, Johnny. We will be hearing from him again as well once we link up with Jason in a few minutes. One more question though about the K-League and its return. Sam comes from our other patron named Mike, Mike S. A very interesting question here, Sam, that I'm going to be interested to get your thoughts on. Mike says the J-League English accounts tweeted about the Bundesliga being back this past week, but not about the K-League returning the week before. Assuming this was intentional, do you think it's good to ignore the rival league, or is it short-sighted as the international attention and reputation of K-League and J-League are more linked than either would like to admit? What an interesting question from Mike.
Yeah, very interesting. First of all, I don't know exactly who runs the J-League English account, because the way it's broadcast, especially in this situation, it sounds very much like a typical European who's quite ignorant to anything that's outside of Europe, and the Bundesliga obviously is globally a bigger league than the K-League, so it'll get all the attention. So it might just be a bit of ignorance on the part of whoever's running that account, but if it is a more official J-League version, it's a Japanese person and they're involved with the league properly, then I think it's a bit poor. I can understand maybe you don't necessarily want what you class as a rival league to get all this attention, but I think, especially in Asia, I think the more kind of eyes on any Asian football is good for the continent as a whole. So I think if people are watching the K-League, they start to enjoy the K-League, they might think, oh, the J-League's on here next week, yeah, we'll go and watch that. So I don't see why you wouldn't bring attention to it. I think any eyes on Asian football is good for both leagues, and I think it would help more if they work together, especially in this sort of situation. I don't think it's really a time for any sort of pettiness. I think collaboration would be the way to go.
Yeah, well said. I think, the way that the J-League has worked with professional baseball in this pandemic has been really welcome, as in the past, as a lot of our listeners will know, but many won't. I mean, the relationship between Nippon Professional Baseball and the J-League has been very frosty, to say the least. They have always tended to keep each other at arm's length and get on with their own sort of stuff without any sort of collaboration or any sort of hints of working together. So the fact that they've come together during this this time to try and protect both of their sports and not try to launch back into things before it's safe to do so has been really welcome, I think. And yeah, it would have been great to see them, the J-League that is, throwing their support behind the K-League. I guess if you want to you spin it around, I mean, some people might see the J-League tweeting their support for the K-League as an indication that the Japanese government has been poor and that Japan's not ready to restart our league, then that means that's an indictment on the Japanese government's response. I mean, that's probably a bit of a long bow to draw, but I mean, some people might be criticising the J-League for showing support for the South Korean league. But yeah, I agree. It would have been good to see. I don't know. Maybe just the person in charge of the account didn't realise that the K League started back on the Friday night, and they might have missed the first game, and they thought, well, once I've missed that, there's no point. Hopefully, it's something as innocent as that. But yeah, I agree. It was a shame that they didn't. I don't know if higher ground's the right word, but yeah, they didn't show a bit more grace to welcome the K League back, because it is literally just over the ditch, isn't it? And they've done well to get their league up and running. We're a long way off doing that, but yeah, it would have been good to see them throw their support behind their Korean neighbours, but it wasn't to be. But yeah, thanks for that, Mike. A very, very interesting question. And yeah, well, what about, quickly before we get to Jason then, Sam, did you see any of the Bundesliga over the weekend? A couple of people I follow, notable people in our community, were less than complimentary about the product that was put out. What did you think? Being played behind closed doors as well. And the return of the Bundesliga, how did it go for you?
Yeah, well, very kindly over here, BT Sport have broadcast every game, so I've been able to watch quite a bit. And it's interesting. I watched Dortmund versus Schalke, a big derby game in Germany. Two very good teams, especially Dortmund. They've played some incredible football. But I agree with people who were disappointed in the product, because obviously behind closed doors, you're not going to get an atmosphere. And the way that the Korean League has combated it is with these, they've pumped in crowd noise. It's not necessarily any continuous drone of anything. It makes sense in the way the game is flowing. They bring it up when they're attacking and whatnot. And it seems to work really well, and you can kind of suspend your disbelief, and you can imagine that there's a crowd there, and you're not constantly reminded that we're in horrible circumstances and this isn't football proper football. And with the German league, it was dead silence, and it was tough to watch, really. I mean, I watch any old football. I've watched Bahrainian friendlies in front of no one. It's just some really terrible football. And my attention was kept just because of the quality of the football involved, but I can't see not necessarily as hardcore a football fan as me really kind of carrying on with this after the novelty maybe wears off after a couple of weeks. It could be conceived as quite boring. There's no atmosphere. It was just difficult. So I think they should learn from the K-League and get crowd noise in, just to kind of give it any sort of atmosphere. I think even if, like, for Japan, if they bring it in, and we were talking a few weeks ago about the role of the core leaders and the supporters in that, if you could get the supporters involved and have a choice of, like, kind of chants that they would usually use in games, and like they set them up, and then maybe they're involved during the game, and at this point we'll use this chant, and at this point we'd do this, and kind of get that fan involvement and get some sort of atmosphere in, because really, the fan involvement is one of the key things behind how good the J-League is as a spectacle. And I really fear for the product as a whole if it was just the J-League played in silence. It would just, because we're going to have to play behind closed doors. I don't think there's any way around it, just to financially, for the clubs to survive. I think we're going to have at least a couple of months, if not longer, without fans. So we really need to combat it. And I think the silent behind closed doors is not something that's really going to keep the attention of many people, I don't think.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, there you go. So the Bundesliga can learn from the K-League as well. I don't know if we'll see your sex dolls in the stands at any German stadiums in the next few weeks or so, but that's certainly going to be interesting to keep our eyes on that. All right, so that's our quick check on what's been going on in the world of football. We don't have an update on any sort of resumptions for the J-League as yet, but there might be news towards the end of this week. So make sure you tune in to John and Stuart on the Extra Time pod later on in the week. Hopefully there'll be an update by then, and hopefully John and Stuart will be able to report it for you all. So after a quick hit of music, let's welcome in Jason Coskrey. And it's our great pleasure to welcome our first ever baseball guest to the J-Talk podcast. From the Japan Times, it's Jason Coskrey. Jason, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
An absolute pleasure. Jason, with first-time guests on the podcast, I usually ask them what got them into Japanese football. Well, I don't know if you're interested in Japanese football at all, but I know that you're interested in Japanese baseball. So how long have you been in Japan? How long have you worked at the Japan Times? And, what got you into Japanese baseball in the first place?
I have been here since 2008. I got here. And, I've been at the Japan Times that entire time, so that's a pretty long time, now that I think about it. And I guess what got me into Japanese baseball was more or less just I liked baseball in general, and I liked Japan. And when I came to Japan, I got the chance to cover Japanese baseball. I actually really didn't know. The only thing I knew about Japanese baseball before I got here was Ichiro and Matsuzaka. And I guess Deki Matsui, that's really about it. So I read You Gotta Have Wa, the like seminal book about it by Robert Whiting on the plane. Or actually, no, I didn't read that book on the plane over. I read his second book, The Meaning of Ichiro, on the plane over to just kind of learn about the league. So I guess just liking baseball in general is how I started.
All right, fair enough then. So, so Jason, the J-League season and the Japan Professional Baseball League, the NPB season, they don't run exactly along the same time frame, but they're very similar. Obviously, they start in spring and run through until the autumn. So, roughly, where would the NPB season, where would it be at the moment if it had have started at a normal at the normal time, if there were no such thing as the coronavirus?
Well, if it had started at the normal time, the season would have started on March the 20th. And so we'd be, what's today, May the 18th? We would be in the middle of, about a good, an entire month in, and a little bit more than that. So maybe about 30, 40 games, something like that. I'm really bad at math, that's why I write. But, it'd be pretty well into the season. It'd be early, but it'd be, well into the season. Not halfway yet, though.
Okay, fair enough. So, for the listeners that don't know, I think the NPB season is something like 140 games or something around that number, Jason?
Yeah, 143.
Okay, so what's the discussions been about how much of a season that will be able to be played once, presuming a start is possible in the next month or two? I'm not sure if you know what they're actually thinking about when they might be able to start. But, what sort of a length of a season do you think is possible at the moment for NPV?
Well, it's 100% not going to be 143 because they've already said that the interleague schedule, which basically NPB is divided up into two leagues, the Central and Pacific League, and there's a portion of the schedule where they exclusively play teams from the other league. And so they've gone ahead and scrapped that already. So that's a bunch of games gone. And obviously we've lost all the games from April and the games in May, and I don't know if they're going to have enough time to make those up. So, and the playoffs right now are sort of, I think they've been discussing not having the playoffs this year, maybe just going back to the old days where the teams who win the pennant will just automatically go to the Japan Series. So you might be looking at something like maybe more like 100 games. You might be looking at something maybe more like 80 something to 90 games. So it's going to be a significant reduction, and they're going to, after they have the next J-League and NPB task force meeting, NPB is going to get together, and they may be able to shed a little bit more light on how many games they want to play. And right now it seems like the season they're looking at late in June, maybe June the 19th is a date that keeps coming up. And so probably no earlier than June the 19th, and to go later than that, maybe.
What was the initial response from the league once the coronavirus just started to break out? Obviously, in the J-League, we had the first round of games and then went into lockdown. But the baseball league was just during pre-season at the time. Did they kind of carry on with their pre-season training and just in the expectation or the hope that the league would start as normal? Or was it already at that time making different plans for a kind of truncated season.
No, they carried on with the preseason for a little bit. Basically, what happened was obviously they were playing preseason games, and then so they just stopped allowing the fans to come to the preseason games, and they sort of rechristened. They had just about gotten through the preseason, and then when everything happened, so what they did was they said we're going to push the season back. And so the last preseason games, they didn't have any fans, and then they said they were going to push the season back. And so once they pushed the season back, they still kind of kept playing. So they took some games that were going to be regular season games and played them as practice games with no fans and that kind of thing. So it did seem like they were kind of hoping that they were going to be able to find a way to play, maybe play without fans, which is something that they really didn't want to do. But I think they were sort of becoming resigned to doing it before they were just forced by, I guess, all the external factors to just shut it down.
All right, fair enough. And so, yeah, there are a couple of questions from our patrons that we'll get to, Sam, in a couple of minutes. They were really fantastic, and a lot of them centered around the cooperative task force that, yeah, Jason just mentioned and that we talked about at the start of the podcast. But there's just a couple of other things I wanted to touch on with you, Jason, before we move on. And one of them is the possibility of NPB playing more games than you might think is possible because of the possibility of double headers. Is that something that they do in Japan for like rained out games? I know that's, I don't know a huge amount about baseball, but I know that in Major League Baseball, if a game is called off due to inclement weather, they usually try to make it up either in the same series or down the road as part of a double header, which I presume is like the first game's at lunchtime and then the second game is in the evening. Do you think that there is any possibility of Japan, the Japanese professional baseball, considering double headers as a way of getting in a few more games than otherwise you might think possible?
I would hope that everything is on the table. But at least since I've been in Japan, I'm not entirely sure what they used to do, but I don't think they played them then either. But they don't play doubleheaders here for whatever reason. And it always ends up, which Japan, as you know, if you live here, there's a lot of, there's the rainy season. So a lot of games get rained out and canceled and postponed. And so what happens is they make those games up a lot of times just at the end of the year. So you have these weird one game series and you have a bunch of teams ending the season way before other teams will. Say the Giants might end the season on, just pick a date, say like September 1st, because they play inside, so they don't have that many games to make up, whereas the Bay Stars may finish their season on like September 10th or something. Or, the makeup games. There have been years where the playoffs have started and there were still games in the other league that they were making up. So
right.
they don't play doubleheaders, which, it would help a lot. And I know that's something that MLB has discussed, scheduling some doubleheaders to get some extra games in. So is it possible? It's possible. I mean, they have scheduled a couple of doubleheaders, I think a few years ago there was a doubleheader schedule because they had no other choice, and then one of those games got rained out. But
okay.
I'm guessing maybe it's a possibility. It depends on, I guess, the league and the players' union and the stadiums, and there's probably a lot of logistical stuff that would go on with it. Like, if you don't have fans, I guess it doesn't matter. But if you get late in the season and fans are allowed to attend, do you make them all leave and then come back, or how do you do it? But I would hope that everything is on the table.
Right, right. Fair enough. I mean, and there's, one more I did want to get your thoughts on, and that is the prospect of games in empty stadiums and what that might mean for you as an American and presumably a lover of baseball from your childhood back home, because the atmosphere obviously is completely different at a Japanese ballpark compared to one in America. Now I can't say I've ever been to one in America, but I obviously watched a number of games on TV. So I know that, hearing the crack of the bat is one of the the hallmarks of going to a game in the US, while in Japan you can't hear it because you're just drowned out by the singing of whichever team supporters is at bat during that particular inning. So do you think, I don't know, maybe some of the Japanese fans who obviously would love to be in the stands to watch these games, but will understand that they're not able to, at least for a certain amount of time, do you think they might get a new appreciation for the game, actually, like sitting down and watching it rather than having to jump around and sing this song at this particular time and wait for the guy playing the trumpet to play this particular note before they raise their arms in whichever formation, this, that, and the other? I mean, it's obviously going to be a really different experience for the supporters, but I imagine you might quite enjoy it, going back to your roots and just actually being able to listen to baseball rather than listen to people singing.
Well, in a way, but I went to, you know, some of the practice games because they didn't allow fans, but they let media in. So I went to a few of those, and they're weird. I mean, because at least even in America, you don't have the fans cheering. You don't have all that stuff going on. But you've got the ambient noise of the ballpark, and people cheer once the ball gets hit or if someone makes a play or something like that. So there is noise. It's just not as organized as it is in Japan or as constant as it is in Japan. But a game without fans, totally without fans, it's just weird. And it's just, I don't know. It's just like being in a mausoleum or something. It's weird. It wouldn't really take me. It's not a game I've never experienced before. Even if you have a game with a couple of fans, you have at least a little ambient noise. So it'd be really weird. But I mean, I'm sure the fans will understand. Maybe they get a new appreciation for it, because for one, you know, the opposing fans, they cheer when their team's hitting, but they're sitting down when the other team's hitting. So it wouldn't be that different for them, because they're sitting down anyway during games while the other team's hitting and while the other team's fans are cheering. So maybe they'll get a new appreciation for it. But I think that's something that they've already been able to do, even though they do the cheering.
Just before we kind of get onto the Patreon questions, I just wondered, what is the kind of state of play with the teams at the moment? Are they currently training, or is there a kind of official directive from the MPB about what sort of training teams can do? Or is it like the J-League, where certain teams have been in training throughout all of this, others have been off for 7 weeks or so just training at home? What are the teams sort of doing?
I think it's more like the latter. I guess like the J-League would be. Some of the teams are I know a lot of them started doing voluntary workouts. So basically, players can come to the stadium and work on whatever and do whatever, but they're not really working out as a team. And there are some teams that are doing that. The CARP and the Hiroshima CARP have started ramping up their practices again, where they're practicing, like their pitchers are at the inside facility and their hitters are just outside at the stadium. And other teams are doing that in groups too. The Rakuten Eagles, they are still not really, they haven't really started much back yet. The Yomiuri Giants they actually put their uniforms on today, which is, you know, a bigger deal than it sounds like, I guess. But because I know one of their players was saying that once you put the uniform on, you really feel like it's coming, because when they do individual workouts, they don't usually wear their full uniform and stuff. So it's kind of, each team is doing what it can, and it's different because of, like, in Hiroshima, the state of emergency has been, like, lifted, and Hiroshima, I don't think, was ever really, like, as bad as Tokyo. So the CARP have had, I guess, a little more leeway to do things that maybe the Giants haven't or the Swallows haven't. So it's kind of team by team at the moment.
All right, fair enough. So, as we've mentioned, we do have some cracking questions from our patrons for Jason. So we'll get into those now. But actually, just one more before we do, Jason. Do you have any interest? Do you follow the J League at all? Because a couple of the questions are centered around whether you know what the J League is up to on a regular basis or not. So are you very much in your NPB bubble, or do you also keep abreast of things in the J League?
I try to see what's going on in the J League, and you know, I do like soccer, so I do, you know, kind of see what goes on in the J League, and always on the lookout for when FC Tokyo will finally win again. That would be nice. So, you know.
Ah, good man. I don't suppose you're a Houston Astros fan as well, are you?
I am not.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, yeah, we kind of everything in common, but fair enough. That's good to hear you. Yeah, you support FC Tokyo. That's a good stuff. All right. So yeah, let's jump in here. So as I said earlier, a couple of these questions are related to the collaborative work that NPB and the J League have done in their pandemic response. So there's probably a couple that we can group in together. So from Dan O, a name that you're very familiar with, and also Johnny Nickel. Johnny, we mentioned your first question in part one, of course. They're basically both are asking about what sort of cooperation you would like to see between the leagues, between the sports, once the current situation is over and things get back to normal, from Dan. And then, from Johnny, what does the J-League do better than NPB, and what does NPB do better than the J-League? In other words, what could each organisation learn from the other? So I guess they're kind of grouped together in a way. So, take that however you like, Jason.
I think I'd like to see them do more business collaborations, not necessarily, that's probably the wrong word. I like this, maybe have meetings every 6 months or something, that's just sort of, this is how we're running our league. This is some of the things that we're doing. These are some of the ways that we're engaging with our fan base. These are some of the things that we're doing to increase advertising and make money, because in this day and age, there's so much attention. There's so many things vying for the attention of kids these days and young adults. And I think both sports can do more to try to, maybe grab some of that attention, especially baseball, because I think, soccer trends more towards the youth, a more youthful fan base than baseball does. And baseball could definitely use some help in that regard. So I like to see them do more. Just kind of, swap notes every now and then, and maybe, have some, especially like Marinos and the Bay Stars, they can definitely do some more things together. I mean, that's kind of almost a natural fit too. So I think I'd like to see them do more of that, just sort of trading notes and trying to get ideas from each of the leagues. I know like the way the J League is very sort of focused on like their local, kind of more local focus, and that's something I think NPB has started to try to do more, get away from the corporate side and more focused on their communities. I think the Nippon Ham Fighters do that really well, and the Roxanne Eagles do that really well, so I like to see that. I'm sorry, what was the second question?
What do you think that the J-League does better than NPB, and NPB does better than the J-League? So what could they learn from each other, I guess, from Johnny?
I think the J-League markets itself better. I think they seem to be more savvy in terms of marketing. Although, again, I could be totally off about this, but I do think in my opinion, the J-League's a lot more savvier in terms of marketing itself. And part of that may be because the J-League's are a lot younger than NPB. NPB sort of can do this, we're playing here, we're playing now, come watch it or don't. And they feel like that works, and I guess somewhat it does work. But I think the J League seems to me from the outside a more flexible league, a league more willing to try things, and a league that is just a savvier marketer of itself as a league. Not necessarily, I think NPB teams, some of them do really, really good job at marketing themselves, but I think as a league, I would say the J League's better. And NPB, I think NPB, even though it's going to sound weird that I just said that, I think NPB is much better in terms of merchandise than the J-League is. I think NPB, in the last few years, probably led by the Hiroshima Carp, they've really jumped on the, we can make some money by selling t-shirts and other kind of commemorative merchandise train. It's like, if a rookie gets his first win, the next day there's a shirt ready to be bought already for fans to snap up to engage with them. And I think they've done a really good job of that the last several years.
All right, fair enough. And I guess once something goes on sale, it's stocked and people can actually buy it. Whereas a lot of J League clubs, their stock is very much limited, and often not possible to get your hands on what looks like a really nice product. It tends to be a very short run, and then once it's gone, it's gone. And I guess Jason, it's I think you're right in what you say about, yeah, obviously the J-League being a younger league and maybe a little bit more progressive in terms of marketing itself. But I guess, is there that sense amongst the NPB? And again, I mean, you're drawing on teams from Kyushu all the way up to Hokkaido. They're obviously much more spread out than they are in the J-League, which has, you know, a total of 56 clubs in three divisions rather than just the 12 main clubs over the two leagues that you mentioned earlier. But is there just a sense that the NPB doesn't really have to try and market themselves because they seem to just always be at the forefront of the media? You know, whenever you turn on the sports news on an evening, even if it's still pre-season for NPB, once the J-League started, but the first story on the sports news will always be that hot new rookie for the Giants and how he went in his pre-season debut, yeah, rather than the fact that, yeah, F. Marino's won the 5-1 in their whichever league match they played that particular week. It just seems that they're probably getting on my high horse a bit here, but it seems, yeah, there seems to be this terminal media bias in terms of support of NPB. It will always be the biggest sport. So I guess in a way, they probably don't have to try that hard to get the attention. It just seems to happen for them.
Right. I think the same. I think that that's why. Again, this is just my opinion, and I don't cover the J-League, but I think that's probably why the J-League is better at that stuff, because it sort of has to be, and whereas NPB doesn't. NPB has that history of Sadaharu Oh and now, like, Yu Darvish and Shohei Ohtani, and not just in Japan, but even outside of Japan, but even that, you know. NPB is just, it's the league that they're the old established league, and that counts for a lot in Japan, being old and established, and yeah, they're going to get all the attention, so they don't have to try. Although now they're starting to losing ground with youth, definitely, because I think baseball, you know, the numbers of kids playing is going down, and they're also starting to get sort of cannibalized by the players going to America, getting a lot of the attention, taking a lot of the attention off of NPB and putting it towards the U.S. But no, I think you're right as far as the J-League. I mean, the NPB is the league that gets all the attention, so they don't in a lot of ways they don't try.
It's quite an interesting point, this, and kind of on the cooperation, do you think that's a reason why the NPB and J-League haven't really cooperated too much in the past? If the baseball league thinks it's the kind of the main sport, it doesn't necessarily need the help from the J-League, and there's this kind of situation brought into focus, really, how much a benefit could be brought out between cooperation between the two leagues, as you say, with the kind of younger audience going to the J-League more so than the baseball. Has there been a fear that cooperation with the J-League and helping the J-League out is going to threaten the baseball's dominance in Japan, or is that just a kind of, would that just be petty thinking?
I would be surprised if they thought that. But I would be surprised if they thought that, because I don't necessarily think they think about things like that. I mean, I think once the J-League becomes a threat in that way, it will have happened by the time the NPB people realize it's happened, and then they'll do some reactionary thing that'll take them like years to implement or something like that. So, I think that this cooperation, it's probably in a way, but because they really want to start the season, and they're probably just open to, you know, what can we do? And this is another big league, and let's see what they're going to do. Let's try to, you know, swap some notes with what they're doing and see if we can do what they do. And so, hey, let's just do this collaboration thing.
Are they swapping notes, you know, with the MLB and other baseball leagues around the world?
They've said they've been monitoring what's going on in Taiwan and what's going on in Korea, because those two leagues are playing, and actually Taiwan is playing with fans in the stands now. And I'm sure they have been keeping, you know, very much abreast of what's going on in MLB, although NPB at the moment is farther along than MLB is.
Yeah. So have you looked on jealously at baseball starting up in South Korea, as we have for the K-League for the past two weekends, Jason? It's obviously great for our friends across the pond in South Korea. But, we're quite jealous. I imagine you might be the same with the KBO up and running and getting a lot of attention. There's been games being shown on ESPN, aren't they, back in the States?
They are, yes. They're getting a lot of attention. And before them, Taiwan, the Chinese Professional Baseball League, was broadcasting games in English on Twitter and getting just a lots and lots of attention for doing that. And that sort of brings me back to the J-League versus NPB thing. That's the kind of thing I don't think I could see NPB doing, because they just wouldn't have like the foresight or the will to do it. But the CPBL is like, we've got this spotlight. We want to try to build some attention for ourselves, and let's, you know, go out of our way to do this. And I think the J-League does that sort of thing in Japan to try to carve out its niche and get more attention, whereas NPB just keeps everything straight and doesn't really take too many risks, although that's not really a risk. But yeah, so it's, I've been looking on with some jealousy that they can play. There's nothing to watch here yet.
Okay, we have a few more questions from Patreon. This one is from Stephen Fryer. Thank you very much for the question. He has two questions. The first one is, some football grounds in Japan have standing areas where social distancing rules might be difficult to apply. Do baseball stadiums have similar areas, and what might be the solutions, if any?
Yeah, there are some stadiums that have places where people can just come and stand. Tokyo Dome, for one, has standing areas where people just buy a ticket to stand there. And some people bring like a little sheet and sit on the floor and watch one of the televisions downstairs, not even seeing the game live. They're just watching it on TV. But it'd be hard to implement social distancing stuff there. But I think the solution would probably be they just wouldn't sell those tickets. And what they'd probably do is just limit the number of people that they allow into the stadiums when they are able to allow people in the stadiums. One thing that they're doing in Taiwan is they're only letting in, now it's 2,000 people. Before, they were only letting in 1,000 people. And they're keeping one row empty and making sure people in the stands are, you know, properly distanced away from each other. And that's the kind of thing I can see NPB doing, just to get some fans in the stands, just to get some sort of revenue stream going, that allowing a limited number of people to come in and, you know, maybe keeping two rows empty and putting some people, you know, distanced apart in some other rows and spreading people out around the stadiums and that kind of thing. I could see that happening. They probably just prohibit people from A, buying standing room tickets, and B, standing around in those areas anyway.
How likely do you think it would be for the Baseball League to start up with these smaller attendances and actually having some fans in the stadium? I know over here in England that the likelihood of fans at any sporting game seems very remote for the rest of the year, let alone in the next couple of months. So is Japan a little bit further along, and is this possible just to get a bit of atmosphere?
No, I don't think it's definitely not going to be possible. Well, I say it's definitely not, my opinion, it's definitely not going to be possible if they start in June. I think they're going to play, you know, at least a couple of weeks without having fans in the stands. I'm sure, I know NPB is desperate to have fans in the stands, because a couple of weeks ago, when this is all really starting to kick off, they were saying that the last resort would be to play without fans. So I think they're sort of resigned to it now. They're gonna have to play without fans in the stands. So I don't think they're particularly farther along in that regard. Maybe later in the year, if, you know, depending on where we are and what the situation is like, because, I mean, again, Taiwan really had success with, you know, getting the numbers down and flattening the curve and all that stuff. And that's why they are where they are. So Japan is still a ways away from that.
And then just the final question from Stephen here, based on that, I suppose, with the kind of the financial necessity to get the games running rather than wait until fans are available. But do baseball teams have any serious financial worries due to this situation? And if so, what help might they get from the baseball authorities?
There's not really a major, like an emergency situation right now. I mean, there's nothing like Sagan Tosu in the J League. So, so far they're okay. I mean, they're gonna have to try to navigate this without, maybe with not much backing from their parent companies, which they usually get, because we have to see how the parent companies themselves are affected by the situation. And of course, it's the reason they don't want to play without fans, because you have a lot of revenue going out, but you don't have much revenue coming in. And so it's going to be rough on some of the teams. But as far as help, I'm not sure what MPB would do. They haven't really discussed any of that stuff yet, but maybe they would be able to help some team out if it got to that, but I'm not sure any team's particularly close to that right now.
You mentioned earlier the kind of the Korean League and the Taiwanese League getting broadcasting deals, either ESPN or across Twitter or whatnot. What sort of international broadcast does the J League have? No, not the J League, the MPB have. And are there talks underway to kind of broaden that and get as many eyes on as possible, just to help financially?
I would hope so, but it's not one of those things I would be particularly optimistic about, because even now, MPB has Pacific League TV, which is the Pacific League's, obviously, Pacific League TV, but it's basically like a subscription service. You get to watch all the Pacific League games and you pay for it every month. But, and there are people who I see on Twitter who are from, you know, in America or in Canada or somewhere, hey, we can't watch this because it's geo-blocked. We can't see this. Even some of the highlights on YouTube are, you know, region restricted. So, you know, that's the kind of thing I wouldn't see them doing what Taiwan did, even though what Taiwan did was great for their league, maybe even better for Japan. But if you're geo-blocking, like, YouTube videos, and I don't think that the zone feeds are also, I don't think those are watchable outside of Japan either. I'm not sure though, maybe they are. I think specifically TV actually used to be, and then I've seen a lot of people say they can't get it, so that's kind of a mixed bag. I think maybe it could be available. I see a lot of people saying it isn't, so I can't say that for sure because I've never tried it outside of Japan without a VPN. But there's not much in the way of, you know, being able to watch games outside of Japan, really. But, I mean, people do it. There are streams, and some people can get, you know, PLTV to work. Some people can. And I'm not sure about the zone. I don't want to say that it doesn't work, because I'm not entirely sure, but I've heard it doesn't. But I don't know.
Yeah, I've tried the zone a few times. It used to work when it first started in Japan. You could get on with a VPN, but after they got quite savvy to that. And, yeah, you haven't been able to for a couple of years now.
Right, okay.
Well, there you go. The same sort of problems that we have in the J League are also applicable to NPB. I'm quite surprised to hear that, actually. But I guess it's good to know that it's not only us football supporters that are inconvenienced by geo blocking, etc., etc. So I just wanted to add one more question along the lines of Steve's last question there, Jason, and that's obviously some of the listeners will not be aware of the size of the two major leagues in Japan compared to the J-League. As we mentioned earlier, it is 56 professional teams in the three levels of the J-League. And as you said yourself, the J-League has certainly done a fantastic job of getting into local communities. And indeed, you won't have heard this, but on last week's podcast, our guest Richie Palmer mentioned the same thing, that the J-League has definitely mastered that side of things, but it also means that they're in really small communities, and it's really hard to, especially at a time like this, to get money and to keep it coming in when you can't have people in the stands watching you play. Obviously, you can't play to begin with, and you might only be getting 2,500-3,000 people at a time through the gates to see your third division game, whereas in NPB there are only 12 clubs, and I say they're spread from Kyushu up to Hokkaido, but Hokkaido has one team. I think Kyushu only has one themselves, right, with Fukuoka, and then there's probably four or five in Kanto, but the others are in obviously the major metropolises around the country. So and also the fact that some of the listeners might not be aware that the almost all of these teams still keep the name of their parent company. So I imagine that almost all of them will not be hurting for money, because they'll be getting relief you know, paying players, paying staff, etc., from the parent company.
Yeah, so as you know, that's true. Like I said, for the some of them are going to be able to have some stuff taken care of because of the parent company, which is basically the normal way things happen. It's just I guess the only thing about this situation now is just how much of a hit is the parent company taking because of this situation, and then how much are they going to want to, you know, kick back to the baseball team. Although, again, the baseball team is usually their biggest advertising vehicle because their name is for every team except the cart. You know, the company's name is right there front and center. So,
indeed, indeed. All right. So, yeah, we'll wrap things up. And obviously, Sam, if you've got anything else at the end of our chat with Jason, then feel free to jump in. But yeah, the last of our questions from our patrons comes from Mike I, whose idea this was to begin with. So thanks again for that, Mike, and thanks for getting involved with a number of questions. I'll pick a couple out towards the end of your message that I'll post to Jason. Jason, what do you think might be the differences between staging baseball and football matches in Japan once, again, it's safe to do so in the first place, and then I guess further down the road once it's safe to allow a limited number of people through the stands? And if and when baseball matches are staged again, can you foresee anything that might cause you not to want to attend?
Well, the first one, I'm not sure actually, because I mean obviously it's different on the field, but between soccer and baseball, and huge differences, but if you're talking about allowing people into the stands, if you're talking about that sort of thing, I don't know how many differences there actually would be between the two sports. I know, you know, soccer fans are probably just like baseball fans. They may not be able to cheer in the same way that they did before. I know baseball teams may not be able to use the baseball teams who do use the balloons may not be able to use the balloons. I would imagine they wouldn't be, because when the bad flu swept through here before, a lot of teams banned the use of banned people blowing out the balloons because of, I guess, you know, the droplets and stuff that could come from that. So I think the way the cheering sections operate, probably in both leagues, is going to have to change. As enough, the people that you allow into the games are going to have to change. But as far as the spectator experience, or as far as running a game with spectators, I'm not sure it'd be that much different. Now, obviously, off the field, on the field, I mean, I'm sure there's a myriad of differences in how you run a soccer game or a football game or a baseball game.
All right, and you'll obviously, once it gets up and running again, you'll be tucked away safely in the press seats. But yeah, can you foresee anything that might cause you not to want to attend?
If it got just really, really, really bad, I could see it. But right now, no. I mean, if there was a game tomorrow, I would go to it. You know, take the proper precautions, wear a mask, and that sort of thing. When we were going to the practice games before they shut everything down, you had to wear a mask. They took your temperature at the entrance and before they let you in. So they were taking those precautions. And although we weren't really distanced from each other, now that I think about it, we weren't distanced in the press box, but on the field, when you talk to some of the players, they say, okay, you stay this far back. Each team had their own situation. I'm guessing that there may be something more uniform when we do finally go back, but no, it'd have to get, you know, really, really bad for me to think that I wouldn't want to go. I would obviously want to take precautions. Like, I wouldn't just go and do nothing, but, you know, wear masks and sanitizer and try to stay a good distance away from other people if I could, but I'd still go.
All right, maybe wearing one of those hats with the pool noodles on it or something like that. You see people sitting outside a German cafe or something like that. But, All right, fair enough. So before we wrap it up, Sam, have you got anything else for Jason before we thank him for his time and let him enjoy the rest of his evening?
Yeah, Yeah, just one, just kind of on the staging of the games and whatnot. Do you think the stadiums in baseball are kind of prepared enough for these sort of social distancing measures that you'd need, not necessarily inside the ground watching the game, but kind of at the food stands and whatnot? And are you able to properly distance these amount of people that would go into a baseball ground in such a kind of small, confined areas?
For the question about the food part, I don't think they're particularly prepared for that, no. And I would imagine that maybe they wouldn't have concessions at these games. And that, again, that's another thing that is going on in Taiwan. They have fans, but they're not having concessions as far as I've read. So, to answer your question about that part, no. To answer your question about the compact nature of it, I think the stadiums are probably big enough to, you know, allow quite a few people in, if, as long as you, you know, keep them distance. I think there's the space to keep people distance and let people into the games. But you'd probably just say, I guess to keep it fair for every team, you just take how many people can you keep distance in the smallest stadium and then apply that to every other stadium and to spread people out as much as you can.
Okay.
All right, terrific stuff. So thanks ever so much for joining us, Jason. Very much an education for Sam and myself, and in all things at NPB. Great of you to take the time. Really much appreciate it. I'm sure all the listeners do, and especially the patrons whose questions you've answered in so much detail. So we very much appreciate your time, and stay safe, and who knows, maybe we'll catch up again sometime down the line.
All right, you too. Thank you again very much for having me.
All right then, listeners, please, if you're not already, follow Jason on Twitter at jcoskery. And, Sam and I will be back in just a sec to wrap up the rest of the episode. All right, thanks again to Jason for that very interesting chat. And thanks to our patrons, Johnny, Mike S., Dan, Steve F., and Mike I., for their terrific questions throughout the episode. Apologies, though, to Jeff. Unfortunately, we ran out of time to pose your two questions to Jason, but thanks for sending them in, Jeff. And once again, sincere apologies about that. If you'd like to support the podcast on Patreon for as little as $1 a month, please head to patreon.com/JTalkPod. And Sam, there were some great questions for Jason this week, but I can't wait to see what our patrons will pose to next week's guest. Yes, listeners, I've already got next week's pod sorted. We broke new ground this week with our first baseball guest, but we're really, really pushing the boat out on next week's episode.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. We've got ourselves a Japanese international, a Champions League winner, a Club World Cup winner, and a FIFA master. It's going to be a really exciting episode.
Yes, all wrapped into one. So if you're, you might be scratching your head for the next few days, the listeners trying to work out who that is. All will be revealed in next week's episode. Obviously, a little bit ahead of time for our supporters on Patreon, because I'm going to be asking them for questions for our guest in the days heading up to the recording of next week's episode. But yeah, really, as with Sam, I'm really looking forward to next week's podcast. It should be an absolute belter. So, for now, that's it for this week's episode. Sam, an absolute pleasure. And, you got a little bit of an education in baseball as well. So everyone's a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really sign up for baseball podcast or whatever it might be, but I've learned a lot. I really enjoyed it. We had a great guest. And, I'm happy to talk a little bit more about baseball in the future.
All right, then. So that's it for this week's episode of the JTalk Podcast. On behalf of Sam Robson, we'd like to thank Jason Coskery for joining us and, of course, you for listening wherever you are. And we'll speak to you next week. Bye for now.
The JTalk Podcast. Yes, 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 yes.